We're looking at Isaiah 31, and we're going to be looking at several other verses at the end of the hour, but we'll be right in Isaiah pretty much, and then we'll be going into Exodus as well. And I'll just basically, the way I look at this message, if you want to lay it out, is the introduction is basically most of the message, and then the application will be toward the end. And so just bear with me if you would. I hope that you will allow the Holy Spirit of God the time through this text to challenge us on this theme of trusting in one. Notice the emphasis is on the word one. And I hope you saw that in our reading as well. Trusting in one. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. And thank you that we have a purpose and a reason to gather together on this Lord's Day. And we do ask that your Holy Spirit right now would bring a calm over each person that's listening. Some might be listening to this after the fact. They're not listening live, but they're still listening. Maybe it's Monday, Tuesday, whatever. Lord, work through this message, this Bible truth. And Lord, please somehow work through this feeble vessel to relay the truth that I believe that you've laid on my heart. And I come to this message, Lord, really feeling inadequate, and I know that you are adequate. And so I trust in the one for this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme for 2020, we just sang about it a little while ago, trust and obey. And I would say, as by way of opening statement, that that theme has been very useful. And that theme has been very much tested. God is good. God is faithful. And it is our duty, it is our responsibility to trust Him and obey Him. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 20, and verse number 7, we read another verse of Scripture that many of you have read before, I'm sure of it. It says this, "Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We just read about that in our text in Isaiah 31, about horses and chariots. So basically, the message of today really can be shrunk down to this thought, where do we find our strength? Where do we place our trust? Now, I'm going to say something that right off the bat, I don't want it to be negative overall, but just an attention getter, if you will. If I place my trust in the wrong place or in the wrong individual, then I am destined for failure. It is vital that we put our trust in the right person, in the right place. This is not only for my life now, but it is going to be for all of eternity. And we're going to talk about that later, so I'm going to try to leave that till later. If my trust is in the wrong person, I will be disappointed time and time again. The prophet Isaiah, in the 31st chapter, is challenging the people regarding that trust. Notice, if you will, with me in verse number 1. The Bible says there, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt." Now, if you've read your Bible at all, you remember Egypt. You remember the role that Egypt played. You remember how we studied the life of Joseph, mainly back at the building, and how that's how the people ended up in Egypt to begin with. God provided miraculously by preserving Joseph in Potiphar's house, in the prison, and then in the palace. And that's the beginning. But then there came a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And he put the children of Israel in bondage for 400 years. And then God would deliver them through Moses. But notice here, if you will, it says the word stay. Look at the word stay. They go down to Egypt. Okay, I got ahead of myself. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for," and maybe you'll underline that word help. That word help. I'm reminded of another verse of Scripture. I don't have it for you. I wish I would have had it for you, but God wanted me just to kind of go off memory, I guess, that says this. Part of the verse says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And I may have mixed that up a little bit, but here Isaiah is saying, whoa, it's a warning. It's a warning. Hey, if you're going to Egypt for help, what are you doing? Egypt's a picture of the world. If you're going to the world for help, this is the nation of Israel. Now, let me just say this right now. Isaiah 31 is talks about history, and it talks about prophecy in here. Okay? Now, you can read that, and you probably noticed that in our reading. There's prophetical parts to this text. Now, I'm not going to be speaking on the prophecy side of it. They're there. I'm not saying it's not important. It is important. But I believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. I believe God is writing to us in 2020 in Isaiah 31, just like He is in most every place, if not every place in the Bible. There could be a primary interpretation for the Jew, maybe. But then there can be an application, maybe not a primary one, but there could be an application for us as well. I'm not saying that about this text. I'm just saying that in general. So He says, it's a warning. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Now, you've got to stay with me. Stay with me. Notice, and stay on horses. Now, when you first read that, you might think they're staying on top of the horse. Okay? Again, you got to read into it a little bit. Do a little bit of Bible study. That's not what this means. It doesn't mean that they stay on top of the horse. It's not talking about a rodeo. Okay? If you go on the rodeo and you stay on top of the horse, and for however many seconds, then you're going to win the gold medal. That's not what they're talking about. This word stay means they rely on the horse. Now, how many of you know that most horses are strong? Those things are strong. I mean, the muscles on the horses, and I've ridden some before, and it's amazing that they have the ability to cart people around like me and like others, and they're strong. They pull plows through the field and so forth and so on. So it means that they think their protection is there. It has to do with relying on them. Okay? In other words, the Israelites would remember, I mean, horses have been around for a long time. Obviously, all the way back to the days of Egypt. We're going to show that in just a minute. Maybe you remember a part where we're going. And so, but what it's saying is, woe to them that rely on the horse. Woe to them that are relying on the power of the horse. I want to ask you today, who are you relying on today? You know, think about it. Who am I trusting in today? Where is my dependence today? Look at verse number 3. We've got to keep moving. Now the Egyptians are men. Boy, I tell you what, that's a very emphatic statement. You and I, we put a lot of trust in men. By the way, as God gives us spiritual leaders in our life, we should follow these men, these women, as they follow the Lord. I'm not putting aside that. I'm just saying we're trusting in one today. That's our theme. Now, the Egyptians are men, not God. Can I tell you this? Your pastor is a man, not God. The assistant pastor is a man, not God. And that can go for everyone in the Acre Baptist Church. We have men and women and young people. And many times, I've heard people say it to my face. They have said, so-and-so disappointed me, and so therefore this. You know what? I'm going to say this as lovingly as I can. That's crazy. Why is that crazy? Because I am not, and you are not, to trust in man. We are not to trust and put our in reliance, and as it says here, stay on a man. No, we're to trust in one. And notice that's listed in verse number 1, the Holy One of Israel. Our God is so faithful. Our God is so dependent. He will never let us down. Now, I will say, God uses men and women in our life. God uses our youth pastor. God uses our men, our ladies, our Sunday school teachers. God uses members and attenders. God uses us to influence people. But look, you and I, we are going to fail one another, and it should not cause us to throw in the towel because somebody, hey, I could tell you right now, I could start naming them, and I would never do that because it doesn't help the cause of Christ. I could start naming pastors right now that if I was dependent on them, I wouldn't even be in church today. I could tell you pastors that if I was dependent on them, and by the way, but by the grace of God, I could do that. By the grace of God, you could do that. Let's get back to a reliance, a dependence. If you're not, let's not go to Egypt for the help. Let's not go to the chariots. Let's not go to the horses. Let's realize that God is right there today to rely on Him. There's no reason to fret. There's no reason to worry. God is an anchor that is never blown apart, never blown around by the seas of the seas of life. No, let's anchor in Him. Let's keep reading. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out His hand, it's amazing how God used the prophet Isaiah. When the Lord stretches out His hand, notice, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall, and they shall fail together. You know what that's saying? Here's what that's saying. If I'm relying on Egypt, let's just go this way. If I'm relying on man, when they fall, I will fall. That's exactly what he's saying right there. If you rely on Egypt, if I rely on man, when they fall, I will fall. Ladies and gentlemen, news flash, let it ring in your ears today. Let it encourage you today. Jesus never falls and Jesus never fails. The Lord Jesus never falls and the Lord Jesus never fails. He is the great I am, the way, the truth, and the life. You can trust in Him. We can lean on Him. Now, Assyria was a great and mighty nation. God used them for His purpose. Skip down to verse 9. Notice what it says. He shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the what? Ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and furnace in Jerusalem. What is an ensign? An ensign is basically a banner. It is a flag of the children of God. It's saying here that even though Assyria was a mighty army, they were going to be defeated just by looking at the flag and be intimidated by the flag, not of the children, but of the God of the children of Israel. Where is your trust today? Where is your reliance today? Are you relying today on the government? I believe we could take an application from this text, and Isaiah says, those that go down to Egypt for help, those that depend on man. By the way, thankful for your freedom? Thankful for our freedom? Yes, I am. I hope you are. Are we thankful for the help of the government? Yes. Let me say this. Are you trusting in the government? I hope not. I hope not. You know what? We're blessed to be able to give our tithes and offerings to a charity, and the government allows us to be able to take what we give to this charity, Anchor Baptist Church. For us, it's a church, okay? But in the world's eyes, it's considered a charity. We can give to that charity, and then at the end of the year, we can actually benefit from that in it reducing our taxable income. You know what? I'm not sure. I'm not a prophet in this sense. I can't predict the future, but I just can't see that happening forever. I just can't see the government allowing that to happen forever, and I'm not trying to predict anything. But what I'm saying is this: if that were to happen, or let's say when that happens, is that going to affect the way that you honor and that I honor the Lord in our giving? I'm saying that yes, I'm thankful for the country of Canada, and I'm thankful for the place that God allows us to live. We have a wonderful country. I'm thankful for the government that we have today. But am I trusting in the government? No, that would be like trusting in the horses of Egypt. That would be like trusting in the chariots of Egypt. No, I'm trusting in one, the Holy One. Verse number 1 says, the Holy One. Where is your trust for your future? Where is your trust for your present? Where is your trust for your daily life? Where is your trust for your family's future? Oh, we have it so good. We have it. We're blessed. And, you know, in some places in the world, and God enables them to carry on. And I want to be very sensitive, because sometimes people from these countries might be listening to the live stream, and I'm not trying to belittle them. But there are many places in this world where people live by what they make in a day, and then they have to work again the next day, and they live. And yes, we live that way in a sense, but I don't think you understand. They live off of what they earn. By the way, there are many countries in this world, and again, I'm not trying to be critical of anyone or any person today. We have been benefited by the country of Canada, and I'm thankful for that, and I give God the the glory for that. But there are many places in this world that do not have employment insurance. What do they do when they have no job? What do they do when they have no income? Oh, there are many places in this world that have no retirement plan. What do they do? I'm not critical of these things. I'm just saying many times, I'm talking to Pastor Ben right now, many times I am trusting in government. I'm trusting in a benefit from the government. I'm trusting in this. I'm trusting in that. I'm trusting in the paycheck. I'm thankful for the paycheck. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that as we read this text of Scripture, Isaiah says a warning. Don't go down to Egypt. Don't trust in those horses. Don't trust in those chariots. They don't have, in many countries today, there is no stimulus plan. In many countries today, there is no CERB. And I'm thankful for these things. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if you are trusting in them, you're going to be sorely disappointed. We, as children of God, it is vital that our trust is in one. Circumstances have changed many times since Isaiah wrote this passage of Scripture. Generations have come and generations have gone. Nations have arisen, nations have fallen. Good news, God has never changed. This text of Scripture is applicable to me in 2020. The names of the nations and the governments have changed. The weapons of warfare have changed. Unbelief is still around. It's around us and it's in us from time to time. Faith still waits on the Lord. Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God is able to steer this weird, I call it this weird journey that we're on? Do you believe God is steering it the way God wants to? Of course He is. He has the whole world in His hands. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. God is more powerful. God is allowing. And I'll tell you, I wish I would have transferred him over here, but it's not meant to be. Brother Flanders made an amazing quote this morning that really helped me and encouraged me about God allowing the difficulties to come into our life and God being the one that answers the prayer as well. That's kind of the translation of it. God allows the trials, but God answers the prayer. What a mighty God we serve. He is still sovereign. He's still communicating truth to us in every way. We can learn something from history. Many times we learn what not to do from history. I hope you learn today as we continue the message that we must trust in the Lord. We must trust in His blessings that He has for us. The solution to the world's problems, does not lie in this world. It does not lie in this world. Oh, I can get my problem solved if I get a better job. No, that's not true. I believe this. If the problem was there in job A, the problem's going to be there in job B. It's not because job B pays more. The problem isn't going to go away because you take job B or I take job C or whatever it may be. No, the grass is not always greener on the other side. That's not how it works. Let me say that again. The solution to my problems does not lie in this world. You're not going to find the answer to your problem in this world. The Bible says in verse 1 again, let's look at it. Look at the end of the verse. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Can I ask you lovingly, how much time are you spending seeking the Lord? What do you need? How much time are you seeking the Lord? Church, what do we need? How much time are we spent seeking the Lord? The Bible says here that they looked at a horse and a chariot and thought, man, those things are strong. And you know what? We can look at a lot of toys and bells and whistles in this whole world and think, now, those things are what I need. I need that in my life. If I have this in my life, if I have this job, this career, this spouse, this. And we can think, it's all about the things that are in this world. No, it's not about what's in this world. It's our God that is able to do exceeding abundantly. He's who we need to be seeking. He's who we need to be drawing nigh to, and He will draw nigh to us. The solution to this world's problems is not in this world. I will say this, though. The source of this world's problem does lie in the world. Many times, guess what? It's me. I'm the source of the problem. You're the source of the problem. The old devil is the source of the problem. He stirs it up. He tries to get you to doubt. He tries to get me to doubt. He tries to kindle a fire of fear in your heart. Oh, don't go down and look at the horses of Egypt. Don't go down and look at the chariots of Egypt. They look strong. They look powerful. No, look to the God of heaven. Israel was going down to Egypt to get horses and to get chariots. That was the answer to the problem. We can beat Assyria if we have these horses and if we have these chariots. Hold your place in Isaiah 31. Now remember I said that the introduction is a big portion of the message, okay? I'm going to try to hold to that. But look at something that's interesting to me. Go back to Exodus chapter 14, trusting in one. I talked about it a few moments ago, that the nation of Israel was in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. And eventually, that time would come to a close, and God would raise up a man by the name of Moses. Moses and his brother Aaron would go into Pharaoh time and time again, and Pharaoh would say, sure, you can go, and then his heart would harden, and then he wouldn't let him go. And finally, they had the death angel that went through Egypt, and all of the firstborn sons were killed, including one of Pharaoh's. And God did not kill any of the firstborn sons of Israel because they had the blood over the doorpost. And there's a beautiful picture of our salvation there. And we'll come to that here in just a moment in the application of the message. So that they've left Egypt now, and that's where we're picking this up quickly. Look at verse number 21, please. The Bible says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. They came to the Red Sea, and there was no way to go back because the mountain on either side of them, you can read that another time. The only way they could do was go forward, or if they did go back, Egypt was hot on their tails. And they even questioned Moses previous in the chapter. And Moses said in verse 13, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Very famous verse there. But let's keep moving. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Remember that story? The walls of water. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? It must have been just an amazing scene there. They got to walk across on dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 23. And the Egyptians, don't miss it now, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's what? Horses. I would definitely write here in this passage, Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31, because the next time you read this, then you can remind yourself, go read Isaiah 31. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their what? Chariot wheels. And they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them. Now come on, the Lord fighteth for them. But here in Isaiah 31, what are they doing? They're going back to Egypt for horses and chariots because they got another enemy now. They didn't look to the Holy One of Israel. The Lord fighteth for them. And the Egyptians said, verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Don't miss verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the what? Chariots. And who? The horsemen. And all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. And you could read those last three verses, but I won't for sake of time. So here we see the correlation. Why read that? Because now let's go back to our text, Isaiah chapter 31. Now, this is very same thing that God delivered them from. I mean, you could see it as the children, the nation of Egypt is coming into the Red Sea. God starts to take the wheels off the powerful God. And it says God delivers them. The Egyptians themselves said God is fighting for them. Hey, God doesn't change. If we seek the Lord, if we go to the Lord, if ye shall ask anything in my name, the Bible says, I will do it. Their solution was horses and chariots, even though God had delivered them from Egypt and their horses and chariots in the text that we read earlier. We're back to Isaiah chapter 31. Would you look back at chapter 30 just for a moment? And let's finish the application. Let's finish the introduction, okay? Isaiah 30. I believe Isaiah 30 and 31 could go right together. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They're getting advice, but not from God. May God speak to you and me about that. That cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at whose mouth? God's. To strengthen themselves in the strength of who? Pharaoh. Let's not pile on them. We're there too. Were there times too, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Look at verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in what? Vain. It's no good. It's of no benefit. Again, so many times in your life and in my life, we see something as having great benefit. The solution to this world's problems are not in this world. The solution to your problem today, the solution to your discouragement today, the solution to whatever it is that you're needing to deal with today is not in this world. It's in our God. Trust in one. Notice what it says. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no what? Purpose. To no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Wow. Trusting in one. Okay, now, with that in mind, I want to give you several things that we're trusting in one for. Okay? We're going to go through it as quickly as possible. And don't leave me. With that in mind, keeping that as your focus, we're building from that. Trusting in one for these several things. Number one, go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. Verse 12. Some of them we'll spend a little bit longer on than others, but I hope these will encourage you today. Be a reminder to you today. You're not going to find, and I'm not going to find, the answer in this world. I'm going to find it in the Holy One. One. Trusting in one. Acts 4, verse 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We are trusting in one for, number one, our salvation. Today, I am on my way to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you are on your way to heaven. I am not trusting in a religious system. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw something so ludicrous today. A picture was posted earlier today of a Catholic priest using a squirt gun to baptize an infant because of COVID-19. Now, I don't know if that was a fake picture. I don't know if it was Photoshopped. I kind of hope it was. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? And if you're Catholic today, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying, can you believe that mankind has got to that point that we would have to have a squirt gun as a mode of baptism and think that in some way that is appeasing God? No, you know what? That's going to Egypt. That's trusting in horses. That's trusting in chariots. No, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We are the none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you saved today? The Lord Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You're not going to be saved in the baptismal tank. That's of this world. Praise God for baptism. Beautiful picture of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not how you're going to get saved. You're going to get saved by trusting in one. You're not going to get saved because you carry a Bible, because you wear a shirt and tie, because you're a Baptist. These aren't reasons why you're going to be saved. The Bible says in John 1 and 29, the great prophet John the Baptist said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Who is the Lamb of God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the one whereby we are saved. Acts 8 and 35, the Bible there tells us about a man by the name of Philip. We've talked about him in recent days. And also an Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way home after worshiping in Jerusalem, reading the book of Isaiah, which we read earlier, not understanding what he was reading. And the Bible goes on to say that Philip would get up in that chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch. Many of you know the story. And the Bible says that he would preach unto him who? He would preach unto him Jesus. Why? Because he is the only one who can give us salvation. He did not die for the prosperous. He did not die for the powerful. He did not die for the pious or the proud. He didn't die for the popular or the perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the powerless in sin, like me and like you. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Trust in one. Today, if you are not sure that you are on your way to heaven, it is time for you to trust in one for your salvation. He is the only hope you have for heaven, young man. Teenage young man, he's the only hope you have. Your parents' salvation is not going to get you into heaven. Your brother's salvation is not going to get you into heaven. Your pastor being Ben Turner, and I'm nobody, saved, sinner, saved by grace. Your youth pastor, the same. That's not going to get anyone into heaven. Youth pastor or the church. No, we are to trust in one. Have you trusted in the one? Do you know him as your Savior? Number one, we're to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one for our salvation. Number two, would you go with me to John chapter 10? John chapter 10. Number two, we're to trust in one for our security. For our security. John 10 and verse 28, the Bible speaks here of the sheep and the shepherd. It says in verse 28, "And I give unto them." Who is the I? He is the one that we just talked about. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I give unto them eternal life." I mean, this verse right here should also be one that we could use for point number one. Nobody gives me eternal life. No institution gives me eternal life. No pope gives me eternal life. No pastor gives me eternal life. No one. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, gives unto us eternal life. And notice what he said. "When I give unto them eternal life, they shall," what's that next word? Never. I would definitely make sure that word is emphasized. "They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." A shepherd protects his sheep from physical harm. He does other things, but a shepherd protects his sheep from physical harm. Our Savior protects us from eternal harm. Look, when you get saved, when the Bible says here, when you, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are secure in one. The security is not in your good works even after salvation. No, I'm not saved today because I'm living for God. I'm saved today because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you trusting in? You know, I've talked to some people in my time of witnessing and through the years that, yes, I got saved, but I'm also having to keep going for God or I'm not saved anymore. Folks, that's not in the Bible. That's adding works to grace. Let me just challenge you. The Bible's very clear. My salvation is through one. It's not through the Lord Jesus and then me keeping the law. That's not in there. Now, the law has a vital purpose, by the way. The law was given to show me that I have no hope. Because there's no one that's kept the whole law. Would you agree with that? The Bible tells us that. It says if you violate one principle of the law, you violated them all. But I would submit to you that I don't know anybody with skin on except Jesus Christ who kept the law. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. We heard about that on Wednesday night through Brother Chauvin. And then there's all those other Jewish laws that came in. Let's just think about the 10. No, the law was given so that you and I might recognize we need help. We need a Savior. One, Jesus, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then after we get saved, our security is in the same one. I'm dependent on Him. Remember, the Bible said in Isaiah 31, they didn't listen. They depended on the horses. They depended on the chariots instead of the Holy One. Number one, trusting in one for our salvation. Number two, trusting in one for our security. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, in 2020, for Anchor Baptist Church, for my life, I'll just be very transparent. For my schedule, whatever that is in 2020, I don't know. Your schedule and so forth, from about mid-March on, everything just kind of, woo, it just kind of changed, didn't it? You know? But it never changed with God. God wasn't sitting up in heaven saying, oh man, this is not what I had planned for 2020. No, this is what He had planned for 2020. God saw this way before time even began. Somehow, I don't even know how that makes sense. It doesn't, humanly speaking. But He is eternal. He never began to begin. He's always been. And so we trust Him. He is our one for our salvation. He is our one for our security. But how about this, Philippians 4:19? Many of you have committed this verse to memory. But my God shall supply. He is our one. He is the one where we get our supply. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I talked about this earlier. Is our trust in unemployment. Praise God for the benefits that Canada offers. Praise God. Again, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm just saying emphatically, that better not be where I'm trusting. No, I'm trusting in one. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory, but don't miss the last three words, by Christ Jesus. We're emphasizing the Lord Jesus Christ, our supply. Now, this isn't all about money. The Bible talks about in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. I believe that goes for a lot more than finances, and I've said that for the last almost 19 years here. I believe that goes for just any area of your life where you need something. Give and it shall be given unto you. Jesus Christ is our supply. Do you need a friend? Jesus Christ is our supply. Do you need guidance? Jesus Christ is our supply for that. What do you need? He is our supply. Don't trust more in anything in this world than you do in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in one for salvation. Trusting in one for security. Trusting in one for our supply. Let's look at one more. Psalm 23. Trusting in one as our shepherd. As our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Is that true? Is that true? You know, a good sheep follows the shepherd. Now, we sheep, me and you, you've heard people say this, and I said we, so please don't think I'm singling you out. I've heard people say sheep are dumb. You ever heard that before? Raise your hand. Yeah, I've heard that. Sheep are dumb. I've never taken care of sheep before, the animal kind anyway. And I guess they're stubborn too. Anybody ever heard that? They're stubborn. They kind of have their own will. They kind of have their own way of thinking and going. That's what the shepherd's there for. But a good sheep. How about this? A sheep that's alive still follows the shepherd. One. Trust in one. Trust in the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the who? Lord forever. You see, all of this, trust in one. It all begins with the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Notice. And it all ends with the Lord Jesus. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in between the beginning and the ending, He wants us to have a daily, a load of benefits. He wants to dry a tear when we're mourning and grieving. He wants to calm a fear when we're afraid, because the enemy brings fear, not him. He wants to be that shepherd. In the New Testament, David, of course, the writer of Psalm 23, David knew a little bit about sheep as he cared for them. In his early years, he was a shepherd. In the New Testament, we read of Jesus, and let me just give you these three terms that it gives the Lord Jesus. They're not in the PowerPoint, but in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to in John 10 as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. I'm so thankful that when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of good. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of this. Everything God does through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good. Have you ever heard that said? God is good. God is so good. God is so good. He's the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He's not only that, He's the Great Shepherd. He's the Great Shepherd. Good, better, and best. He's the Great Shepherd. I mean, there isn't anything our God, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. He's the Great Shepherd. And then lastly, 1 Peter 5, 4, He is the Chief Shepherd. He is the Chief Shepherd. I'm thankful to be an under-shepherd. That's what the pastor is called, an under-shepherd. But He's the Chief Shepherd. He's the Great Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the one I want to lead you to follow. God forbid that I would lead you astray. I don't think that's ever the intention of any pastor. But I must recognize that I'm a human being and I have the capability to sin in me. I've got to have that walk with God and I've got to have that desire to be sanctified. It is not my desire to lead you to watch me and analyze me and pick me apart. I hope you'll pray for me, but it is my desire as the under-shepherd to lead Anchor Baptist Church. And if you're listening and you're not a part of Anchor Baptist Church, I hope you have a church that you have an under-shepherd and you submit yourself as unto the Lord to your under-shepherd. But we as under-shepherds, we want to be pointing everyone, the youth, the adults, the husbands, the wives, the seniors, pointing everyone to trust one. To recognize that the solution to your issue right now, the solution to your challenge right now, it's not in this world. Yoga's not going to work. A new job is not going to work. Nothing's going to work apart from trusting in one. He is our Savior. Is He your Savior? He wants to be our security. When you get saved, you don't start trusting in Jesus. You keep trusting in Jesus. Trusting as the moments fly, as the days go by. Trusting Him. He's our security. He's our supply. Are you lacking something? Trust Him for that provision. He's our shepherd. By the way, the shepherd always takes care of the sheep. Sometimes that means got to use that staff to correct the sheep. Oh, take that correction knowing that it's coming from a God, a great shepherd who loves you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this afternoon. Thank you for listening. Before we close the meeting out, I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond. I guess one of the things that, as a pastor, that we preach, first and foremost, we should preach to bring honor and glory to God. I pray that all the time, and I trust that's my motive. But we also learn, and we have a desire for, we preach for a response. It's not because we're looking for a response, but that's what you're preaching for. You're preaching to honor and glorify God, and you're preaching for the people, myself included, to respond to the Bible truth. Not to the pastor, but to the Bible truth. Today, the theme has been very simple, but yet, I believe it's life-altering if we would apply it. Trust in one. Isaiah said, whoa, it's a warning. Don't go to Egypt. Don't look at the mighty horse. Don't look at the mighty chariot. Look at the Holy One. He fought for you in the midst of the Red Sea. He will fight for you now. Church, 2020. If you're not saved right now, if you're listening right now and you say, Pastor Turner, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I would not go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. Right now, would you be willing, right where you're at, would you be willing to ask Jesus Christ to save you? If you say, yes, Pastor Turner, I'd be willing right now. I believe Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived a sinless life. I believe He died on the cross. I knew that. I believe He was buried and He rose again the third day. I knew that, but I've never accepted the gift of eternal life. Right now, Pastor Turner, I want to get saved. Right now, would you pray with me this prayer? Not trusting in the prayer, but trusting in the One who provided salvation for you. Would you pray this, dear Jesus? I know that I'm a sinner. Right now, dear Jesus, the best I know how, I'm accepting you as my personal Savior. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to pay for my own sin. But right now, I'm accepting the gift of eternal life that you provided through your death, burial, and resurrection. I right now am accepting you as my Savior. Help me to live for you day by day. If you prayed something like that, from your heart to the Lord Jesus, He's the One who can save you. Would you let us know so we can help you? Would you let us know so we could try to get you some discipleship material? Dear Christian, maybe you need to take a moment right now in your home. And you need to go to the One for your supply. You need to go to the One for security. You need to go to the One who is your chief, great, and good Shepherd. Just take a moment and talk to Him. The song says, I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read a few of the words. You just continue in prayer. When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith, they saw the victory ahead. David, with a shepherd's sling and five stones, met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith, he saw the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith, he saw the victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith, I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith, I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith, I see the victory ahead. Trusting in one, guess what? Means victory. He's the only one who can provide victory.